ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. President Biden toured Israel's prime minister. Future U.S. support for the war in Gaza depends on what the Jewish state does to prevent civilian deaths. White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby described their phone call today.
Very direct, very businesslike, very professional on both sides. And the president laid out his significant concerns about the direction and where things are going.
It was the first time the leader spoke since seven aid workers were killed in IDF airstrikes over Gaza. A federal judge denied former President Trump's attempt to dismiss the classified documents case against him, his lawyer citing the Presidential Records Act. No Label says it won't field a presidential candidate this November. It says it could not attract a high-profile centrist to run. The A's will leave Oakland after this season. They'll play at a minor league ballpark in near Sacramento till their new stadium in Las Vegas is built. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The latest Marquette University Law School poll is a mixed bag for President Biden and Donald Trump in Wisconsin. In a head-to-head matchup, Biden leads with likely voters 52% to 48%. When you count third-party and independent candidates, Trump leads 41% to 38%. A murder victim's family says Donald Trump was lying when he told a Wisconsin audience this week he met with her family.
He did not speak with any of us, so it was kind of shocking seeing that he has said that he has spoke with us.
Mavi Garcia was Ruby Garcia's sister. Ruby was killed in Michigan last month by someone who was in the country illegally. Data shows undocumented immigrants are actually less likely to commit violent crimes than American citizens. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. After finding a missing girl on Wednesday, Duluth police officials are praising the use of their drone. According to a Northern News Now report, the 12-year-old girl was reported missing from the Gary New Duluth area around 9:45 a.m. after saying she was going to run away. Law enforcement authorities launched their drone upon their arrival and were able to find the girl in a wooded area less than an hour after receiving the call. Authorities did not say why the girl tried to run away, but she was taken to a hospital for evaluation. The city of Mellon will soon no longer have its own police force. The Mellon City Council voted to abolish the police department on Tuesday, an expected move considering the department has only one officer. Instead of building up its own department, the city will contract the Ashland County Sheriff's Office to patrol the community and respond to emergencies. The Ashland County Sheriff's Office says their contract is a prioritized contract, which is the only such contract they have with any city. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Brewers lose to Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. Baseball, the Brewers lost their first game of the season to the Minnesota Twins, the final 7-3 in favor of Minnesota. Some highlights, another home run for veteran Reese Hoskins and 20-year-old rookie Jackson Chourio, who hit his first major league home run 402 feet over the right center field fence. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
He'll remember it for sure. I'll remember it. A lot of people that are close to him, you know, will certainly remember it. Day by day, you notice more and more that Jackson belongs in the big leagues. You know what I mean?
NBA, the Bucks losing at home to the Memphis Grizzlies, 111 to 101. Bobby Portis says they're getting everyone's best shot right now.
You know, obviously, the teams play us different, man. If you watch the Bucks, if you watch this team play against the Pistons tomorrow, you know, it's just different when you play us. We get everybody's best shot. It comes with the territory. Used to hunt, now hunting.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low upper 20s. Mostly sunny and warmer for tomorrow, high up to the low 50s. Mostly sunny, breezy, and mid-50s Saturday. Showers likely on Sunday. Breezy as well with highs in the upper 40s. Right now it's 48.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome Thursday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Yeah, it's a Thursday night.
Yeah,
number, if you want to jump in, it's 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Johnny on location there in Seattle, man.
Oh, yeah, nice. Tim, you know I love to visit all the campuses, so I'm over here at University of Washington campus in downtown Seattle. It's great. Just was over at the Jimi Hendrix Experience this afternoon. And, you know, like most cities, there's a rich musical history here, and there's a whole energy and vibe. So great to be here tonight. It's Thursday, Tim.
Yeah, it's Thursday. Make me jealous here. You know, where I'm at, you know, there's I think we have a street light right now, you know, and we've elevated to a new 24-hour convenience store. So guess what? You can get really bad hot dogs at 3 a.m. All is well. Yeah, it is Busted Pencils. Man, we have a great tonight.
Special guest
was there again. You know, this has been the week of people coming back from the beginning of Busted Pencils. We had Nancy Carlson Page, Matt Damon's mom on Monday. And here we are now too. Yeah, well, let's do an introduction. He was the drummer from bands Public Image, Limited, Ministry, Nine Inch Nails, Pig Face, Killing Joke. He's also now the curator and the coordinator of music industry at Millikan University, teacher of music business for over 30 years, and founder of the Museum of Post-Punk and Industrial Music. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Martin Atkins. Martin, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. It's nice to see you, Tim. It's been a while.
Yeah,
it,
right.
It has. Well, say it's been a while, Martin, because in 2014 is when you and I got introduced. I was just putting together this. It was a podcast then at the time, and I was introduced to you through a mutual friend, Randy Hawk, who was a radio person in Madison, Wisconsin. He said, "Hey, if you're going to do an education with a punk rock theme, you got to meet Martin Atkins," and we got connected. You had an interview in the Progressive magazine, and you were the second guest right after Matt Damon's mom on the original Busted Pencils. Martin, in fact, let's bring this back up, because what it was is you have a T-shirt. In fact, I see it now on the Museum of Post-Punk
and I love it.
Industrial. It's still there, but you have a decal on and a saying, "Education is the next punk rock." Is that still true today?
Yeah. I mean, well, and what's true is we need to market these ideas. You can't just say to kids, you know, an education's important. You're going to get punched in the face, or worse, ignored. You know, there goes the old guy, you know. but if you can, you know, there's that Nelson Mandela quote, which is really great. Education is the most powerful weapon, you know, and these are great things to put on T-shirts and just have be part of the landscape, you know, so that if I'm not pushing that message, there's a bunch of people out there wearing that shirt. Sometimes I'll have a student wear that shirt in class, you know, and I'm like, yeah, you know. So it's just important to let people know that education's important, and it is punk. And I'm still learning. I'm 65 in August. I'm still learning. ChatGPT, let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go. Well, I mean, Martin, it's like, yeah, you know, when it was that idea of putting this through, it's like people like, you know, an education talk show. That sounds so boring. It was like, no, man, education, punk rock, it goes together if we're doing education as opposed to what Johnny always says, schooling and indoctrination. When we're talking about education, we're talking about setting fires, lighting the curiosity. And I know, you know, when you're sitting there going, it's like, well, it's anti-schooling, what it means to be successful in schools, but education. And that's the nature of that we've been trying to say is that if you want to liberate public schools, then let's do the punk rock and let's make it educational. Because Martin, as you're talking about education, yeah, opening your eyes, the curiosity. And think about that now here, Martin, it's 2024, it's 10 years now since you and I got introduced. And I was wondering, you know, I mean, we're gonna talk a lot about the accomplishments that you've had over the 10 years, particularly the museum. But from the education standpoint, any observations, you know, have we gotten more punk rock or have we gotten less punk rock when we think about standard traditional schooling education?
Well, I think there's a few things going on. I think it seems to me like things are going backwards. Whereas I think when we spoke 10 years ago, I go in the classroom, I'm like, there's no curriculum for this class. What should we do? You know, and the students are like, huh? You know, but would rise to the occasion, would invent things, would pull things out of themselves, challenge themselves. Sometimes now people are more guarded, they're more anxious, they're more frightened. And I see this thing in play where if you say to somebody, you can do anything for this semester, I'll see some students go, well, if I set the task of seeing if I can go across the room to that chair and pick up a cup, I'll get an A because I can do that. So they limit themselves to play it safe. And I've just started seeing this. It's kind of come into focus after the pandemic, you know, that we went into the pandemic pretty well, I thought. We had a conference called Midwest Music Expo, and we did it on campus at Millikan, and it was great. We had like almost 300 people from Nashville and Chicago and Indianapolis, and it was all right. And I was sitting with the class strategizing what we'd do for number two, and they were all excited. And as the pandemic was on the rise, I said, listen, guys, the better the job we do with this conference, the worse we're going to feel, because we can't be bringing people together from several different states right now. And we canceled it. It immediately felt wrong. And by the following week, we were experimenting with this brand new thing we'd never heard of called Zoom, you know, and then we ran a conference on Zoom, and it was like doom for about a week. And then Lord Tolhurst, the drummer from The Cure, he lives in L.A. There was no way he was going to fly to Chicago, drive 3 hours to Decatur, and give us 2 days of his time. But he gave us an hour of his time. You know? And suddenly, Randy Blythe from Lamb of God, the singer from Lamb of God, Michael Alago, who signed Metallica at the age of 23, suddenly we've got this all-star lineup, and it was like, well, I mean, there were lots of very bad things about the pandemic, but we saw very clearly that was an alternative and perhaps a silver lining, you know. But I don't know how how the current students would react if they were faced with those challenges again today.
I wonder when you're talking about the, even the students today, and Johnny, we've talked about this too, is if you're seeing, you know, this maybe lack of curiosity, whether the pandemic or whether though too, because you're at Millikan University, you're talking about, you know, roughly college age students. Yeah, they experienced the pandemic, but on top of that, Martin, they've been in school for over 10 to 15 years. And I wonder that the criticism that we leveled against schools 10 years ago, saying like, man, they're too standard, they're not creating curiosity. If it's that's what you're potentially seeing now is the result of, Johnny, jump in here, the result of schooling as opposed to the result of education, Johnny.
Oh, yeah, man. I just love hearing that because, I mean, you know, I agree with Martin here, you know, that there are all kinds of emerging possibilities that come from all situations, you know. And so, you know, as we get complacent in like, you know, the status quo or the compliance structures of schools, you know, it just I always get excited to see what the next generation is bringing to go against that grain. Mm. Right. And I think we're in one of those moments where, you know, we saw a lot of emerging creativity from the COVID moment. And now we're sort of in this maybe like a little bit of a calm after the storm. And I'm not sure exactly where or what's coming next, but I'm excited to be here for it.
Yeah, I think there's definitely ripples. There's aftershocks.
Yeah, ripples. Of COVID. Yeah.
And you know, I look at ChatGPT and all these other things, and it's one thing to look at ChatGPT having done all of this analog stuff before, pre-internet, you know, pre-cell phones, you know. I don't know what it would be like to jump straight into ChatGPT now and have it start giving you answers.
Right.
You know, we have this different old analog mindset where we can look at the answers and have a kind of a critical eye on what's going on. So yeah, there's a lot going on right now. I hear a lot of work-life balance. Which I'm just like, well, good luck with that.
Yeah, right.
What to tell you, you know? And look, we should be conscious of work-life balance and strive for more balance. But there are times, you know, in the music business, in the museum business, as I'm finding, when you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. And you make hay while the sun shines. And I like my deadliest catch analogy. You know, you got people fishing on the boat. When there's crabs, they'll work 36 hours straight. Somebody will cut their finger open and they'll just wrap some electrical tape around it. It's a different generation now.
Yeah, that
the number's 855. Go ahead, Johnny.
Well, no, yeah. I mean, give us a call, folks. You know, 855-752-4842. Give us a ring. But Martin, you know, that really reminds me too of, you know, I hear a lot about work like life balance and these things. And it reminds me that so many folks, how lucky we are to be working in something we love and breathe. Like we live, love, and breathe music, creativity, these kinds of discussions. Tim and I talk about how lucky we are to teach teachers and to have, you know, stayed in that sort of punk rock education realm that has always just been part of the fabric of our lives. So we're lucky for that. But I'm reminded when I hear so much work-life balance talk that we've really become a culture of work being pretty awful. And I hate that for kids. I hate that for future generations because, you know, so few of us get to experience that pure joy of, like you said, when it's going, it's going, and you're going all.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Earl Ingram.
Let's talk a little bit about what public education did to move this nation forward and continues to do, even though it's under assault.
The one place where we get to live out and practice what it means to be a citizen in a democratic institution. The attacks on public education are really attacks on democracy.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Ah, yeah. We're always sowing the seeds. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number 855-752-4842. Our guest, yeah, he is the founder of the museum and the curator of the Museum of Post-Punk and Industrial Music. He's a drummer from the bands Public Image Limited, Ministry, Nine Inch Nails, Pig Face, Killing Joke, educator, Millikan University, music, business, education, just all around awesome, great guy. Martin, we've talked a lot about, you know, so education, the next punk, rock. Johnny had a question during the break, though, I think that might be worth exploring here, because you're now the curator and the founder of the Museum of Post-Punk in Industrial Music. So I wonder if now it's time for a little education to give us a sense of, so what's it mean to be post-punk?
Well, that's a good question. So, and the more I find out about these genres that we thought were linear, punk, post-punk, mm-hmm. I mean, that makes sense. But all of industrial music, all of these things were kind of going along at the same time. I choose to say that post-punk would be, I would say, the end of the Sex Pistols and the beginning of Public Image Limited. So a very different mindset, a different sound, mm-hmm. concentrating on the art and the packaging and the media and the fashion along with the music. And that was 1978. And then punk solidified itself with the look of the leather jacket, the mohawk, the attitude that kind of carried on. And those of us that have been in punk and experimenting, we're now working with post-punk and then industrial electronics, sampling, production, studio techniques, and then education and record labels and getting involved in all of it. And then plugging that back into teaching. But all these subgenres are fascinating, all of these connections. I'm still educating myself on all of this stuff.
Oh man, Johnny, what a gift. I mean, man. I'm just loving it and soaking this up because I love history, especially musical history. And you know, we always say this, all music is political, right? It's either for the kings or the queens or the serfs on the other side of the wall. And you know, and punk has such a rich history of always being, you know, unapologetically political, and in your face political. And so to hear this idea and to kind of have that marker here of post-punk. You know, I remember being a kid listening to Sex Pistols and having that sort of as like the history of it. And then my mind being blown when like Minor Threat, you know, kind of came onto the scene and it was just like, boom, oh my goodness, the energy of things. And then over the years, every generation having that sort of iteration of things. But I'm really stricken by, you know, Martin reminding us, and this bring it, you know, to the educational piece, is we often think of musical genres as just that, musical genre, right? But I think punk, like, it stands for so much more, right? To have that adjective or even to situate it as a noun, you know? So diving into that idea of, you know, post-punk and punk, you know, Martin's talking about, it's more than just the music. It's all that experimentation that goes far beyond that. And like you said, Martin, you really explicitly situated it in connection with education.
Right. And I've thought about some of this stuff, you know, like, you know, people say, well, it's questioning everything, do it yourself.
Yes.
Like, and that's a great slogan on a t-shirt, but here I am, you know, I didn't like major record labels. So I started my own. And I wanted more control in the recording studio, so I started my own. Mm-hmm. I accidentally started teaching, and there wasn't a book, so I wrote one. And I mean, and then I started a museum. I mean, and it wasn't like, I'm not saying, then I wrote a book, and then I started a museum. I'm like, well, I know, I'm going to do this today and see where this goes, without affectation or hopes particularly. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to get my hands dirty and see what happened. And then you start to question things. Like, we have an exhibit in the museum. It's an album by a band called Duritti Column from 1980 with a sandpaper sleeve. And there's all kinds of things I can tell you about that album. But it's, you know, eventually over 2 or 3 years, it will destroy the album to the left and the right of it in your collection.
Yeah.
But, and I acquired it for the museum. It cost hundreds, about $500 or $600. I wanted it because of all this amazing packaging I already have. I wanted it in there. But then it's like, well, hold on. I've got people like looking at this sandpaper, and I thought, well, here, have a feel. And I held it out for this person to grab, and I pulled it out of their hands so they could feel the sandpaper. And they said, ooh, it's sandpaper. And I'm like, well, I realized they didn't know it was sandpaper just from looking at it.
Yeah.
So then you have this punk, anarchic view of a museum where here's a valuable artifact that by showing it correctly and illustrating to people how different it is, well, it will eventually be destroyed. But I think it's more correct to let people touch it. You know, sometimes there's 10 people in a line touching this thing. It's more correct for people to touch it and experience it than it is to put it behind a glass in a glass case.
Man, so many thoughts on that, Johnny, thinking of how, right, the idea of truly, like you say, it's like, okay, there's this sandpaper cover, but looking at it, and I think about that too, as we're talking about, you know, truly transformative teaching and learning, is that so often, and I think Martin, you and I have talked about this for a couple of times, we ask students, learners, to learn by watching stuff behind the glass, observing it behind the glass, and then we get really concerned when they don't learn or they don't have an appreciation of the things that we're doing. And it's like, well, maybe it's we're the problems then. And realizing this, and I, that illustration right there is just so graphic to recognize and go, so if you really want to do education, if you really want to do punk rock, if you really want to do a museum, it's got to be lived.
Yeah.
Is what I'm hearing you say it.
Yeah. So we let, you know, Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails sang a song with Pigface called Suck. And I own that intellectual property. So we'll let people go into the studio with my engineer and do their own mix of that song and leave with it on a cassette. I'm not there going, oh, let me listen to, this is my song. Let me listen to that before you leave with it. No, it's your mix. It's your crappy mix. It's your badly executed mix with not much technique, but it's your mix. It's special to you. Take it away, you know? Mm-hmm. And the more you start to explore these ideas that we've already talked about 10 plus years ago, the better you get at letting go and doing these things. It's not easy, but it's a skill that builds on itself.
It's a realization. It's Busted Pencils Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number is 855-752-4842. Our guest, Martin Atkins. Yes, he's the curator, founder of the Museum of Post Punk and Industrial Music, also educator extraordinaire. Punk education is the next punk rock. Martin, when we get back, though, let's talk. Let's really dive into the museum. Where did it come from?
Yeah, let's go.
And it's just named the number one museum in Chicago. Busted Pencils, back in a break.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Recent furloughs in the Marshfield Clinic health system will be permanent. Marshfield Clinic is telling employees that those who were furloughed in January will no longer be employed by May 4th. The furloughs account for 3% of Marshfield Clinic's workforce. It's been 1 year on the job for Wisconsin's Secretary of State. Sarah Godlewski says her office authenticates 15,000 documents each year for all kinds of Wisconsinites.
You know, a family that finally heard that they can adopt a child in Thailand, or a business. My first one was a cheese shop that finally got to sell their cheese overseas.
But Godlewski tells Up North News the office has had to do more with less since it was defunded and downsized 9 years ago. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Duluth Transit Authority has announced one of its bus stops is being moved next week. According to DTA officials, the bus stop that currently sits near the Dick's Sporting Goods at the Miller Hill Mall will be moved to the JCPenney starting this Sunday. The change is meant to give residents easier access to the Ascensia Health Miller Hill Health Plaza. The Transit Authority will also add some signage to the area to ensure everybody using the bus can find the new stop, and bus schedules should remain generally the same. The Superior City Council voted against holding a public hearing on the Nemadji Trail Energy Center project on Wednesday. Minnesota Power, the company behind the Energy Center project, has made a number of requests of the Planning Commission, including to reopen the city's comprehensive plan. The denials triggered a resolution for the City Council to hold a public meeting, but the motion was denied by the council. Superior residents have expressed strong opinions both for and against the Energy Center project.
And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If you're looking for something old that's new to watch, here's one of Pete's retro picks. Check out The Larry Sanders Show from the early 90s. The late Gary Shandling plays the title character, who hosts a Tonight Show-esque late-night talk show. It's a realistic and hilariously funny look behind the scenes that captures the chaos of a nightly talker. The show also stars Rip Torn and Jeffrey Tambor, and you can find it on HBO. During Disney's annual shareholder meeting, CEO Bob Iger shot down the idea that NBC Universal's Epic Universe will steal visitors from Disney's turf in Orlando, Florida. Iger also said Disney is entertaining the idea of a new Avatar area of Disneyland. I know what you're thinking, and yes, you might have to wait in line for well over an hour to see the Avatar attraction, but that is still a fraction of the time we spent sitting in theaters watching the actual movie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low upper 20s. Mostly sunny and warmer for tomorrow, high up to the low 50s. Mostly sunny, breezy, and mid-50s Saturday. Showers likely on Sunday. Breezy as well with highs in the upper 40s. Right now it's 48.
Matt Nair on air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved winged fingers.
Winged fingers! That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, winged thingets.
The winged thingets.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Ah, there it is. hold all of our hands. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number's 855-752-4842. Our guest, the founder, curator of the Museum of Post-Punk and Industrial Music, the generator of education is the next punk rock. Martin Atkins is our guest, talking everything education, museum, punk rock, sandpaper album covers, and the fact that if you really want to know about a sandpaper album cover, you can't look at it behind glass. You got to put your fingers on it and have Martin yank it out so you can feel that roughness. Right now, though, we got a caller. Caller Joanne. Joanne, our friend, how are you? What's going on?
Fantastic discussion. I just had to mention that Billie Eilish and 200 other musicians and artists put together a letter that was just released a few days ago saying that AI is a menace that needs to be controlled, or the creativity of the world is going to be constrained. And talking to three people right now who just have an enormous creativity, I'm just wondering if the creativity is the problem, or perhaps even something like intellectual property, that people won't have a sense of intellectual property if AI takes off and starts gobbling up our works and all of that. So I'll listen. Again, a fantastic discussion.
Hey, thanks. Thank you, Joanne. Martin.
I'm reminded of a few things with AI. One is punk rock. The traditional music industry, the heavy rock bands, forbade their labels to sign the Sex Pistols. If you sign the Sex Pistols, we're leaving. That was A&M Records, Herb Alpert. Artists threatened to leave. This isn't music. It's crap, blah, blah, blah. And then the introduction of the drum machine, I want to say 1972. Somebody called me and said, "That's it for you. That's it for you, Martin." And I'm like, "What? What's happened? Like, there's a drum machine now, mate." I'm like, "Oh, that's it. I'm finished." And then I heard the first drum machine. Boop, 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 boop. Like, you know, okay, my job was safe for a while. But what I thought was the differentiator between me and a better drum machine was my brain and the way I hear things. And the way I think. And so drum machines immediately got rid of terrible drummers.
Yeah.
You know, that you're gone. Because if you're really bad, then a Dr. Rhythm is going to be better. And I see all of the same side taking. I see some fear. I see a lot of fear. And I just started to present on this, you know, photographers, if, you know, you're not going to get hired if you're difficult on a fashion shoot, and neither are the models, because they can all be replaced with AI really successfully. Mm-hmm. There's a social media influencer on Instagram making 11 grand a month. And I say to my students, well, at least you can make 11 grand a month on Instagram, except, oops, that influencer is AI run by a company out of Barcelona. And so it's here. Music mastering for the last few years, a company called Lander, L-A-N-D-R, has all the AI to just, you'd say it's a hip hop track, it's this, it's that. It knows what it needs to do to make your track sound the best in that genre. And it's next to nothing to use that stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a product for lawyers called Spellbook, which I just demoed in my legal class today. It was flabbergasting. Hey, watch out, this is in California, and California law states, boom, just boilerplate stuff. But like, look out, LegalZoom. There's a program called Kasai, which I was just on there yesterday, free trial, of course. Give me a hip-hop track with a little bit of glitchy beats with a dub delay and some xylophone and some CB radio squawk. Boop. And you have to wait 58 seconds, which, of course, is going to drive this generation insane. Where's the upgrade? And then here's this track. And it's not just some rinky dink, whatever. It, you can download it as stems, as a multi-track recording. You can just have the voice, just have the backing. You can mess around with it. And it's quite playful for some people. For me, I might use that kind of thing to create a texture that I might use instead of a loop to drum to. You know, I've played drums to a Mickey Mouse watch and a can of WD-40, like different things, inspire different things. But clearly, subpar mediocre performance is going to be replaced by AI.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, I teach music business because somebody at Cisco, well, one of the reasons, somebody at Cisco said, a creative problem-solving mindset is the new job security.
Yes.
So pivot, understand what's going on, and use it. I told my students today, you can use AI for an assignment, but if I see it, I'm really going to ding you, you know? So maybe you want to prompt into AI, include 3 mistakes to make this a more, you know, but we're all thinking and being engaged, you know. The problem is, I think I mentioned this before, we were looking at contracts, and if you haven't gone through the analog version, sheets of paper, you know, and your mind isn't already thinking about the possible problems and things like, where is this contract constructed? What are some parts of the contract? If you're just looking at what ChatGPT or Spellbook tells you, then you could be at a disadvantage. You know, maybe some people will use these tools initially, and then it will pull them in to gain greater legal knowledge for themselves, so they can be more better users of the AI, or they can, maybe it frees up some of their brain time to look at other things.
Yeah.
That's
what I was going to say, Martin. Yeah. Well, in fact, so I'm going to bring the loop all the way back. And Joanne, and yeah, thank you for the call. Thank you for the question, because it's so rich to put that in there. But I've had this conversation, you know, Johnny and I teach teachers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things, when you spend a lot of time teaching teachers, you spend a lot of time teaching them how to write lesson plans, you know. And at this point now, there's a conversation going on with AI saying, hey, guess what? AI writes a really good lesson plan. Why are we spending, you know, hours and hours and hours of our time teaching students to write lesson plans, when the reality is we want them to teach powerful lessons, not spend so much darn time writing lesson plans? So does this AI give us the opportunity to say, hey, you don't have to spend that much time on the busy work. Now you can get really creative and become a great teacher. Well, I've also heard people say, you can't do that though, unless you understand the foundation and the function of an original type of lesson plan. Johnny's got this kind of,
well, now too. I mean, yeah, I love this conversation because it's rolling with, you know, the emerging stuff that's happening. We talked about, like, I love that Martin brought up the drum machine. We've talked about sampling and being in the studio and the changes of technology. Mm-hmm. All of those, you know, innovations, all of those, you know, introduced entities, they all still required human interaction. And in fact, ingenuity and creativity. And, you know, and like Martin said, you know, it eliminated the terrible drummers. We're using the censored language here. But just like that, Tim, you know, I could teach anybody to write a lesson plan. It doesn't mean they're a good teacher, right? Mm. And it doesn't mean it has your unique human personal touch. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't have harmony with how you're in the classroom with young people. Those are great lesson plans, and those will always be very human specific to the moment and the relationships happening in classrooms. So yeah, it might speed up the process of, like, hey, you got to do this task that might have taken you an hour, and now it takes 15-20 minutes. Yeah, but it's not going to be unique to you. So I like what Martin's saying. Figure out where it fits. you know. And the other thing that came up, you know, I keep thinking about is we're chewing the fat on AI, and especially in relationship to music and marketing and all of that. You know, I keep thinking about that sandpaper album. AI can't put a sandpaper finish that I can touch and feel. We as humans are always going to have an affinity for tangible experiences, especially for ones that are different and that stand out and that leave a lasting impact on us. And this is something that, you know, a lot of different forms of art have taught us, but certainly punk has, right? You know, so it's those moments where it says, you know, it takes, I'm feeling censored today. You know, it takes, you know, I don't even know how to say it, but, you know, it puts a shine on something that wasn't supposed to be shiny. And now it's not. And in fact, you know, it's standing and it's enjoyed and it's shifting and changing and it's leaving some kind of feeling with us. You know, that I can't imagine. Can AI give us a sandpaper finish like that album that, you know, is in the collection there at the post-punk museum?
Well,
I don't think it'll give us a sandpaper finish, but I'm kind of more, and I'll let Martin jump in here, but I think the next person that figures out the new sandpaper finish by using AI is going to be that. And that's where, you know, and Martin, it's funny because Johnny and I can go back and forth. Johnny's kind of the AI nemesis, and I'm kind of the AI going, but it can allow us to do really great stuff, man.
I mean, you can have the perfect lesson plan, and then you've got a teacher who wants to stick to the perfect plan. And I think the perfect plan has built in like, oh, class is going like this. Or when I mentioned soccer or industrial music or tennis, whatever, the class seemed to go, ooh, and we had a great interaction. I'd like to have more sports-related themes bouncing off these central ideas. And so I think AI can help you do that, you know? So I looked at a tour today in class that our agent routed quite badly. And I spent a lot of time finding problems with a run between Oklahoma City and Denver back up to Minneapolis. And it could have been done by AI, basically. I had to work it all out, argue with the agent. And if that had been taken care of, if I'd been using AI to run some analyses of the tour, I could have concentrated on two other shows that would have been quite easy to make much better, like 80-20 rule, you know. So I'm still at that point. I'm not worried about being replaced by AI. I think some layout artists might be. You can do a flyer like that on Canva with the AI plugin. I think it's the end of mediocrity.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Which is so exciting because it pushes our students to be excellent, to find some, and to be excellent, you really have to find something you're passionate about. So I think this is going to turn schooling on its head. It's going to say you can't just go through the motions. You can't just sit there and behave and be great at something anymore. You really have to be great. You really have to love it. You have to live in it. You have to feel it. You have to, you know, learn the ins and out of it. And roll. You got to be able to have jazz in the classroom, right? You got to be able to improv with the young minds.
But I wanted to say this when when Tim described you as the AI nemesis, right? Like, but I don't know how a combustion engine works. Well, maybe a 1954 Ford Crestline, I can figure that out. But cars today, I have no clue. But I'm a decent driver, and I can get from A to B.
Hey, yep.
There it is. It's Martin Atkins, man.
Yeah, the time, love it.
Holy crap. Martin, though, the Museum of Post-Punk Industrial Music in Chicago, Martin, they can find that by going to ppimchicago.com. Martin Atkins, thank you for busting pencils with us.
Yeah. You're welcome. It's a blast.
Yeah, much love, my man.
All right. Johnny and I will break it down when we get back.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Fools out. Not yet, we said. Busted pencils, fully leaded, education talk, educated educators talking. Education, 855-752-4842. Great guest, Martin Atkins, Public Image Limited. And people are thinking, like, Public Image Limited, post-punk, what's that? So Public Image Limited, and we'll do a quick little history lesson. After the Sex Pistols, Johnny Rotten becomes Johnny Lydon, forms the band Public Image Limited. Martin is one of the original drummers of that band. That brings Martin into that scene. But as he talks about, he was living in Northern England at the time and had to move down to London to experience that, got involved in the music scene. And here we are now, what, 50 years, almost 50 years later, and he's still an educator. He's a punk rocker, still museum curator. And the conversation, I always love having Martin on because he really brings together so many different topics. And this is, say, it's kind of the spirit of saying, why did Busted Pencils Radio, Busted Pencils the podcast, come into existence? It was to make these connections to say education isn't sterile. It shouldn't be sterile. It shouldn't be overproduced. And in fact, we've gotten to that point. And I think a lot of these, you know, examples that we talk about is that if we were doing, if education truly was the next punk rock, or if we were trying to do this, man, it would be a whole lot more rewarding and experiential for students, teachers, parents. And Johnny just making that connection and going, boy, you know what, when you want to practice democracy, right, you know, it's messy. It's
Man, I mean punk rock is democracy in action. That's the thing. And artists, artistry, whatever your craft is, whatever your, you know, medium of choice is. I always say this, you know, we are in this age of the artists. It's almost like a new renaissance in a terms of who has dealt with these kinds of complexities. We're all perplexed, like AI, what's it going to be like? And we've talked about it on the show. We've said, like, hey, let's put on our hats and remember being in the studio as musicians. And, you know, and the advent of auto-tune and, you know, Pro Tools and all the different things that came onto the scene that changed how we did what we do in the studio. And we talked about it with writing, you know, like I was making jokes last week about typewriters and, you know, word processors and whatnot. But we're having people who come on who have that artist mentality. There's a comfort with uncertainty. And in fact, I won't say it's comfort exactly, but there's an experience, a wisdom with uncertainty that, hey, they have this vision of when things aren't status quo is where great, amazing things happen. It's not always, I don't want to always say it's for better or for worse. It just kind of, things are changing, things are happening. And artists, in a sense, they live for this. We live in those moments. We stay in those cuts. And so when we want to better understand these kinds of complex things that are messy, like democracy, you know, we turn to the artists. And the artists have so much to share about their process and the stories, right? Like having Martin on tonight was, you know, a lesson in itself, right? Not only in musical history, but in, you know, the changes of technologies that are going to overall, even if for the moment it's producing a lot of crap, right? And that's sort of the argument I'm finding myself in, is that there's a whole lot of garbage coming from AI. Well, you know what, though? I like what Martin said, and I've said it before, so I loved hearing it, right? Is that it's going to make the work more meaningful. Mm. It's going to make the skill set necessary to be creative, to be putting something out there unique, important. So journalists are going to be more fine-tuned and able to focus on their passion rather than just, you know, creating meaningless content. We can get AI to do that. So we get writers to write great things. We get musicians to make great music, you know, and there's always going to be a need for the human mediation and element of that. I loved hearing it, man. And also, you know, Tim, I'm starstruck every time we have our guests on. Every single guest we bring on here, you know, I just am. It takes me back through memory lane of the first time I heard them either talk about education or speak at a conference, right? Or I read their book or I listened to their music, you know, and it's a gift. So for listeners out there, thank you for being part of this. You know, but I'm just in awe. I'm going to be in awe all night, you know, just having been able to learn a little bit more from Martin today. And to be here with y'all. So it's a special show,
man. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. Yeah, we are educated educators talking education. The number's 855-752-4842. Just had a great guest, Martin Atkins, you know, and we didn't even really get to spend the time engaging the Museum of Post-Punk. I mean, we have some great examples of living through it, but you know, I really encourage people, you know, to please check it out. You know, if you're in that Chicago area and, you know, the listeners that are all over the Wisconsin area, take a ride down there, but check out the website, ppimchicago.com. We'll make sure also that we put that in the podcast link when it comes out to later on when we release the podcast version of the show so people can do it. But check it out, man. You know, like you said, he just started collecting. Well, it was his own memorabilia. You think about that, right? So Public Image Limited, Nine Inch Nails, Ministry, Killing Joke, Pigface, you know, all that time, all those tours, all the memorabilia that he collected, and just thinking over COVID, putting it together and going, hey, you know what? Maybe I'll let people start seeing all these things that I have kind of hiding in closets and all over the place. Now the number one museum. And Johnny, we think about this, you know, you really want, and his example of the museum of holding the sandpaper album, it just reminds me of what makes a great museum. It's those hands-on museums that allow children the opportunity to get in there to touch, to play, to do things, and that interactiveness museum. And so hearing that again too, it's like, wait, you got a one of the punk rock legends on your show? What's that have to do with education? Well, come on, man.
Everything, man. Say, everything. Johnny,
right?
Come you know, on, man.
Now we're talking about, music, but a museum? Yeah. You know, yeah, think about it. Great museums, there's something about them that is punk rock that makes it educational, dude, right?
And there's something really special about what Martin brings is he models his generosity and humility, right? He said, it's not about like, hey, look, I did a museum. I'm in another band. It's about that moment and sharing that moment and passing it on to future generations. So big ups to Martin. Thanks for joining us tonight. Listeners, great joining us. Hey, Tim, we got to keep talking about this because post-punk sounds an awful lot like post-schooling. And I'm wondering if we can't get into a conversation soon about, is there such thing as post-schooling?
That's a good question. Tomorrow, Friday, check it out, man. We'll wrap up the week and a little bit of news. Busted Pencils. See y'all tomorrow.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower.
Well, not really, but it sounds fun.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Tune in Friday for a very special Devil's Advocates radio show. Pat Kreitlow joins the show. We air the grievances and we give you the details of Joe Biden's visit to Madison.
Earl Ingram.
Let's talk a little bit about what public education did
to move this nation forward and continues to do even though it's under assault.
The one place where we get to live out and practice what it means to be a citizen in a democratic institution. The attacks on public education are really attacks on democracy.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. President Biden and Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke by phone today.